Welcome to episode 2 of the Influencer Series by Press for Time. I'm your host, Benny Rose, and I have another special guest for you today. Today is a guest that you may not know who they are, but I guarantee you've seen their work.
Oh, what a cute dog.
Thank you, stupid.
Fuck you.
Oh my god!
Just get the fuck out of me!
This specific person makes unique content. This person utilized a platform known as Omegle for a while and used other social media platforms where there would be live streaming. There would be kind of my way of remembering is my chat roulette. There we go. I'm going to show my age. Chat roulette was basically, you know, you just randomly bump into people and you'd find people that might be weird, offensive, but then you met Hyphonics.
What's up, Patrick?
How the hell you know my name? Wait, how the fuck? How did they know my name? How did they know my name, for real?
His name Patrick?
What the?
Hey, what's his name?
What's my name?
Can I check my notes?
Sure.
It's right here. It's Patrick.
What the?
What better way than to talk about the mind behind it on this next episode of Pressed for Time.
Hey, pleasure to meet everyone here. Thank you so much for an awesome introduction. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Listen, you let me know also, how would you like me to address you? Are you the legendary Hyphonics? Because
Hyphonics works, yeah.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah. So it's great to meet you again, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk today. This is a unique kind of content, right? Because we're usually seeing a different side of you. And, you know, this is really special. So thank you.
No, absolutely. I'm excited. Because I mean, there's a lot to it realistically, besides just the surface of all the jump scares and everything like that. There's just so much to it that makes it complex.
Right. And you've been doing this for quite some time. And like, correct me if I'm wrong, Omegle was that big platform. Obviously rest in peace at this point. I know we do have the Omeg TV, which is kind of the new vein of that, if you will.
Yeah, so like Ohm TV is like basically the replacement for Omegle, and who knows if that website will also exist. But it's been there at the same time with Omegle. It's just a little more fast paced, and the skipping process is just a lot quicker than what Omegle was. But other than that, it's basically the same gist, same thing.
Okay, so I know we're not going to get the secret sauce as much as we want that, but maybe talk to me about a little bit of how you came up with this idea. I know you were doing content creation and streaming and playing games essentially before all this, but then like, did something hit one day where maybe you made a comment or something with somebody and then you just kind of went into that, hey, maybe I'll try this.
Well, so with Omegle, when I first got into it, I didn't really have any idea what I was going to be necessarily doing on Omegle. I just knew that my viewers at the time, which I live stream everything, they enjoyed just having interesting conversations on the website. And I was all about, I mean, you know what? Something a little bit different than my typical content at the moment. Let's give it a go. And as I continued to do it, people really enjoyed when I started doing like different skits and different ideas that they would suggest for me to be like, hey, John, how about instead of playing this character, you have them focus on something else. And then at the same time, try to maybe scare them or something and try different variations of different things. And I did. I tried so many different ideas and so many different things, and so many things did so bad. Some things did great. For the most part, it was just a lot of hit or misses. And it wasn't until after a few months, I'd say about a year, no, actually a full year of just doing Omegle and trying different things, that an idea arose that was so simple, yet so effective. Even I didn't think how amazing it would have been. But before we got into the whole jump scaring and everything that we do today, it was about hacking two calls, bringing them together and popping up in between both of them and scaring them. And as simple as it was such a complicated idea to figure it out and how to really execute it. But it turned out to be a massive success for my channel and everything. And I was blown away. I realized, oh, well, we hit something. just my mere existence popping up in between conversations is somehow the scariest thing to people. And we really took off with that. And that just had so many different iterations that we changed as time went on and, you know, brought it to where we are today, where realistically it's just a very quick interaction. And if I have the chance to play a jump scare, if they don't run away, maybe I can still mess with them with other clips. But people are extremely fast paced and their attention spans have gone down tremendously since I first started doing Omegle. So it's hard now, even than before.
Understood. Now, would you say also a big part of that is now that you've really established yourself as the character that you've created and the different personas, do you find yourself getting caught and people knowing who you are and being more positively excited versus terrified? Because obviously the idea of you scaring them, even if you just do like the quick smile, you know, there's certain, you know, physique that you add to it where just you don't even have to really boo them or anything. It's just your presence. But do you feel you're finding more people know who you are now and go, oh, my God, it's you, you know?
Yeah, so since things have really blown up on social media, on short format, and even YouTube shorts and videos, it has gotten to a point where I will come across somebody. I have yet to say a single word. I have yet to even look towards their way, and they go, I know who you are. Do it. Do it. No, do it. No, I'm not here. I don't know you. You could go ahead and do it whenever you're ready. And I'll let them know. And most of the time I will just say, you know, I can't scare you. You know what's going on. I'm going to go. Have a wonderful night. There are times that I'm so lucky. It doesn't happen often that they're still gullible and I can still scare them. But for the most part, even if I did do a jump scare, they would go, yeah, I was expecting that. I'm like, you just told me to do it. So it, you know, it's funny at first, but for the viewers aspect, after hours and hours, you know, I'm in the chat, it's like, please put a wig on, try something else. Hey, Blue. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, you're going to love this. All right, let's get the letter of the day out and let's get the song going here from the top. Oh, yeah. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. I wonder who it's from. Oh, I always love these ones. These are always my favorite letters. I know where you live. The way you want to go ahead and avoid this is to answer a simple question, I'll leave you alone. Don't answer the question, I will not leave you alone. Are you ready? Are you listening to me or are you going to sit here and giggle?
No, I'm listening.
Are you listening?
Listen.
How many calories are in a McFlurry?
I don't know.
What was that?
500.
500? Final answer?
We just said something really scary happened.
You want to try again?
Right.
So, you know, I feel bad because I do come across a lot of people that want me to scare them. And, you know, I'll try and they just get like a little giggle out of it. And it's, you know, it's always the absolute joy of finding someone that's gullible. And right. There's no idea what's going on. Like, that is the best outcome for me.
And I think if you think about it, Omegle was, I would say, the Wild Wild West of internet, you know, and it was really, you didn't know who you were seeing, what you were seeing.
What did he say?
Because I'm sure you've had your stories of things that you probably didn't want to see going through this journey, right?
I've seen everything, too much.
Yeah, and I'm sure that that's part of the not part of the editing side of things, you know? You know, nobody wants to see that. You don't want to have to see it again during that process. But I wanted to ask you, as far as, like, since you're kind of doing this on the fly, you're doing it live, like, how complicated is that process? I mean, obviously, you don't have to tell us what exactly you're doing, but obviously, you said you're working with numerous feeds, so you're dealing with the idea of giving off this persona of like hacking, you know, the user's, you know, feed in the sense. But how difficult is that? Are you doing this by yourself? Do you have people working with you to help, you know, make this as, you know, extraordinary of an experience as it can be? Because I can't imagine just you. I mean, it's possible, and I'll commend you 100 times over to kind of do all that while in the midst of, you know, mentally preparing what you're going to get next.
So, yeah, that's a great question, because everything that I'm doing in terms of like the scares, or, you know, having my wife incorporate and help me with like something, or friends to help me, all that is improv on stream. But in terms of like the programs and the whole entire tech aspect of it, that is not me, because it is extraordinarily complicated. I have a friend of mine on Discord that I've been friends for many years, absolutely talented when it comes to coding. And I will let them literally team viewer my computer, and I will sit there and watch while they figure out how to deconstruct programs, build scripts for things to work, things to manipulate the website for me to be able to get into there and, you know, really put my scares in really nice and loud, really be able to make it a nice, smooth process so that when it comes time for me doing my streams, everything's on autopilot. I don't got to do anything realistically. I just got to put on a show, do my improv, and do whatever skit that I'm trying to play into for that day, so that, you know, it's a nice pressure taken off my back. Because if I had to be the one coding this, there's absolutely no way I would have figured out how to do hacking, because it was not as simple as I thought it was. It was a multitude of virtual cameras and so many things. At this point, I know what I'm doing. I can set it up myself because I'm literally clicking a pattern. I don't know what I'm clicking, but I'm clicking.
Right. You've been given that direction, and you've gotten to the point where it's kind of second nature for you. Well, that's, again, I commend you and your team, because again, you know, it's one of those things that we get a lot of the unsung heroes. So thank you to everybody that helps you make this vision of yours what it is, because at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of people that are always working behind the scenes that don't get the love and appreciation that they deserve, including your wife for supporting you on this crazy journey, right?
Oh, of course, it is a blessing. But yeah, my wife helps me out on so many aspects of like literally playing into a skit, being the hostage in the moment. And then right back to letting her do whatever she was doing.
Right. No, that's awesome. So we talk about social media being so vast. There's so many platforms. Obviously the live streaming component is a big part of yours. I actually stumbled onto, your live stream, if you will, last night, right? Where everybody was kind of like, 3 minutes, it's not really him. And I had said hi. I'm like, all right, well, you know, it's tough. You don't know when something is pre-recorded and stuff, but you have the engagement, which is important, you know, because people are in there talking. And, you know, do you pick and choose, like, do you have a schedule on, you know, which day you're going to focus on this platform, you know, versus this one? Because obviously, at the end of the day, when you're doing this, you know, professionally, you have to worry about metrics, and you got to worry about when your audience is watching and things like that. So do you have like a schedule that you try to follow for each platform?
So in terms of like YouTube, I try my absolute best to stream every single day on there around a specific time every day. If I don't, my viewers will let me know that I've been slacking, but for the most part, I do YouTube every day. And then with social media, that's mostly a daily thing as well too, but that's just like, you know, throughout the day, in the morning, I'll do my posts and whatnot. That doesn't take too much of my time, just because, once again, I have a lot of the hard aspect of like the editing and all of that delegated towards other people that help me do that as well. God bless their hearts, because they've helped me so much as well too on that aspect. Because once again, editing, I've done that before. God did not put me on this earth for editing. No, not for me. So they've done a phenomenal job of just taking so much time off my, you know, my hands to doing that, and actually just enjoying life, and, you know, doing social media at a pretty easy pace where I could just take it, post it, and just continue to go. Because if I had to edit everything, oh my God, I don't know. That'd be so hard.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of one of the only guys doing the editing on our side. And when you're pressed for time, you know, you feel it. Especially when you want it, you know, especially in your craft, because it has to be precise, you know, with what we're doing. There's a lot of organic here that just is natural. But when you're working at, you know, obviously checking somebody's reaction to something and then making sure those clips and everything works, I can imagine the stress that your team goes through. But in the end, I think it's all worth it, because you have something that, you know, I think shows just the unique creativity that no one else is doing. So awesome job with that. Seriously.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. So the one thing I wanted to ask is, as a content creator, you know, we always have these thoughts of, you know, here's where I am, here's where I'm going, here's where I want to be. You know, is there a place that you see yourself in the next 5 years? Do you see yourself doing this at even a bigger, massive scale? Is there something ambitious? You know, you don't have to share secrets, but is there something that you want to do that you're like kind of, you know, reaching for the stars and saying, you know, if I can get here, this is the next level for me.
I think that's also like a healthy aspect to it. I feel like a lot of content creators all have that kind of thought process of where they're going to be. I personally, by bare minimum, I hope that in 5 years, I'm still streaming. Don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing in 5 years in terms of like what content might be. I don't think it'll be Omegle anymore because I've already been doing it for a very long time. But I do hope that I'm still streaming. And in terms of like really reaching for the stars, I would love to do something personality based. I'd love to film a scary movie or something like that where I get to play a character. Would thoroughly enjoy that. But if that doesn't work out, I just hope that I'm still streaming, having fun, and still growing as a content creator on whatever platform that I'm focusing on. That is my only my wish for that to be a constant movement of success and just to be enjoying it. Just because I am beyond thrilled, beyond thankful. I've been doing it for 9 years now at this point coming up here. And I've changed my content over the years to whatever seemed enjoyable for me. And I can't even believe I'm here right now at this point, honestly. This many years later.
It's awesome. And I have to say, you know, with obviously the loss of Omegle, you know, I think a lot of people worried kind of if you remember the days of Vine, you know, we had Vine as a platform that I feel really launched a large amount of creators that, you know, everybody thought might get lost, you know, without that platform. And then we've obviously found others that, you know, try to mimic that in the world of TikTok and things like that. But, you know, as we grow, you know, the world gets crazier, right? That's a big part of it. I was thinking in my head, I said, you know, I can see you doing something relatable to horror in the sense of maybe even, I don't know if have you thought about fleshing out this character, this persona in a sense of like, I can get somebody to write a script or you could write a script that really takes it to the next level. Because I mean, as I watch the content, I'm like, this is like, I could see this being a movie. Where, you know, we've had those social media horror movies where, you know, the killer kind of hacks the feed and they're usually faceless, you know, but we haven't had that person that is just openly taunting and really being out there and just, you don't know where they are. And then you could just be right there, you know?
No, I think that's a great idea. I don't necessarily know if it would be based off of like Omegle in a sense, but I would love to play some type of creepy character, maybe along the lines of, you know, what I am right now, just, you know, a scary bald guy, but there's so much more depth I can add to that into, you know, a much more horrific, you know, setting. I love the idea of it, of course. And I have friends that would probably love to help me on trying to film out like an idea of it.
I could see it, man. I'll be honest. I'm a big horror guy. I'm a horror junkie. So I think, you know, just sharing my opinion, I think like an anthology kind of story, almost like a creepypasta, if you will. You know, I mean, let's join the legacy of creepypasta. There's plenty out there. And I think your character kind of fits that mold when you think about, you know, just the essence of that's a true word of mouth scenario where you just have people talking about, oh, my God, it was this guy. And, you know, he seemed really nice. And then all of a sudden he disappeared and there was somebody tied up and it just... You know, like, can you just create that lore? You know, I feel like you have it already. When you think about it.
You know, there are people out there, genuine people that, you know, they have seen me. They've seen my clips in terms of like me playing it towards them. Or sometimes not even a clip. I actually have a person there pretending to be tied up and they are left in fear and they leave and they probably never come across me on social media. And they probably...
not know the difference.
They're scared to death from some bald guy with a mustache. I'm sure there's a few people out there. And to those people, they're living in a horror movie.
I mean, it's a dangerous world, but obviously we have Reddit. It makes you wonder if people are talking about you on Reddit in the sense of, you know, not directly, but, you know, I was on this platform and this creepy guy, and I'm like, I can't believe this guy has somebody tied up and I don't know what to think. And, you know, like you said, kind of, I don't want to say living in a bubble, but, you know, if they're not exploring and looking for you, you know, because most people are like, nope, That's it. I'm done. That's a scary thought.
There had to be someone out there.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean,
I'm going to make that a challenge now. I'm going to try to find some thread that's talking about you to some degree. Because, I mean, again, that's lore in the making. You know, it's writing itself. You know, but again, it speaks volumes to what you've done.
The script will be in the Reddit. We don't even need to write a script. Somebody will already write it for us. They've already got a great horror idea.
Yep. Movie starts literally just zooming in. I mean, we're writing this right now as we speak. No, it's awesome.
But no, yeah, there's a lot of that to it.
Yeah. So as far as content creating with gaming and streaming and stuff like that, do you still find yourself, you know, liking to do that and kind of being yourself more so than having that other personality that you have to kind of prepare yourself for, I would think, you know, because you got to get ready and, you know, you're not you anymore. So, like, does it feel nice to just kind of be John and play some games and have that casual conversation?
Yeah, no, of course. I my viewers, if I even play some games, they thoroughly enjoy it. They like the chill aspect of it rather than the complete quick off the top of trying to do so many things. And I have done gaming for many years before I ever did Omegle, which I loved it. And a lot of those people that watch me way back, they still watch me to this day. They still play some of the games that I play. And they'll still give me updates about the game they're playing. And I, at this point, like, I have built such a community where I have, like, left a little mark in every game I've played. Like, I have games that I play, like, for example, Clash of Clans 9 years ago. I still have a clan in that game that still runs to this day. And people are still coming into the stream as of last night. And accept me to the clan. Please. I'm Town Hall 12 now and whatnot. I don't even play personally that much anymore because I'm already playing so many different things here and there. But I just think that's so awesome, you know, that a lot of the people in the community are connected with me in so many different ways, not just Omegle as well, too. It's awesome. I think, you know, I personally enjoy gaming a lot because it's personally finally a break from scaring people and not having to see horrific things of Omegle. And I would love to see where I'll take it from now, because I've done gaming over the years and I've made that my main content. And maybe in a few years, I might make another game my main content, take a break from Omegle. I don't know what the future holds, but right now Omegle is 100% king in terms of the content that I need to be streaming, because that's what the viewers want. I know that's what I need to be doing. Who knows how long this other variation of Omegle will even exist. It might even be gone by next month, personally.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it seems like a dangerous topic of discussion, because obviously we live in the world of TikTok ban potential and, you know,
yeah, everything. Yeah, it's been above our heads for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a hot topic, and obviously, you know, some people kind of take it too far in the sense of, like, it's gone and it's, there's obviously a lot more to it, but again, mentally preparing, and especially if you have an audience and you've built a community in a platform that might go away, like we talked about with Vine, that's a scary time for a content creator. But the benefit here is, again, you've expanded yourself. Your biggest reach, I would say, would be YouTube in this case, of consistency and you know, over the years.
So, I mean, YouTube is not my biggest platform that I have, but it's definitely my main platform for me. It's, you know, it's my bread and butter. I have my community there. I'm there every single day. I make my livelihood out of it as well, too. And with TikTok, especially when I was just blowing up for, like, God, a whole year, I made sure that just in case TikTok doesn't exist and it goes away, we have to push the viewers to other social medias, mostly to the YouTube. And hope that it works. And it did. It worked beautifully. So many people from TikTok came to other social medias and my YouTube and my live streams as well, too. And now are regular viewers of it, which is beautiful, just because, like, once again, if TikTok does get banned, it is what it is. There are going to be other platforms that will take its place. I just feel like I hope they don't get rid of it, because they've been talking about it forever at this point. I see a lot of people, even people in my community, that I could ban it. I didn't like it. I'd be like, okay, well, did you try to make content on it? Because that's a whole different perspective. I just feel like a lot of people have, you know, they gotten a lot good out of TikTok. They built great communities from it, from actual legitimately good content that's not brain rot, which majority of TikTok content creators really end up as being brain rot. And, you know, if they do, get rid of it. I'm sure there'll be something else that'll take its place, just like what happened with Vine. All those other Viners, they moved off to different platforms, became wildly successful as well. Most of them did. And then when TikTok came, they hopped right back onto it. So I'm not going to be surprised if that does happen again in that same cycle.
Yeah. It's the nature of technology and social media. And again, you know, everything needs an enema sometimes, right? If you think about it. But that makes sense.
So yeah, so, they get rid of it. I'm ready.
Let's go.
Whatever that new plan B. Whatever that new platform is, I'm just gonna take everything I post on TikTok and repost. Be like, hey guys, look at this stuff on this new platform. I'm just gonna restart from scratch wherever it is.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's gonna be a wild, wild west in the sense because everybody's gonna try to be the next platform. You know, mm-hmm. I think everybody's emulating TikTok now. When you think about Instagram and everybody else, So. The short form is still king, I feel, even though TikTok seems to be wanting to do more traditional long form. But it kind of goes against because obviously we have a certain aspect ratio that it's designed for. And, you know, again, it's hit or miss. It depends on your consistency, the quality of your content, things like that. And again, when you're doing something like what you're doing, you have a unique outlet where not everybody's going to want to do the same thing, not going to be able to. You know, and again, you're the key to that. Your personality, the persona you've created, it makes it valuable. And I think that going any platform, you're safe, which is great. You know, I think other people might have to struggle and kind of rebuild themselves, if you will.
But, I mean, no, absolutely. I mean, even before I started doing Omegle and built up a massive audience for it, I mean, with every game that I played and streamed, I mean, eventually they died and you had to move on to the next game or move on to something else and continue evolving. So I just feel like in the same sense, it's just an evolutionary of what's going to be the next thing to do with whatever the platform or the trend is or whatever the niche per se will be at that time. It's always ever changing. So I'm not the only content creator. You know, everyone, I feel, has that same feeling in the back of their mind of like, what is the next thing I got
to
be doing?
Absolutely. Yeah, because you want to be the first. Everybody wants to be the first. It's an important aspect. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to the core of Iphonics. Let's talk about games a little bit, because you did mention you love games.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about games. Like, what are you playing right now, even if you're not live streaming it?
So even if I'm not live streaming it, I'm always, I don't know, I guess it's just an addiction at this point. I've been juggling playing old school RuneScape every day.
Nice.
Every moment that I'm streaming as well too, whether it's like a jump scare or I'm reading the chat, I always have it on another monitor, just delegating my attention for it every few seconds here and there and just having it just run on autopilot. But in terms of like games that I've, because like I'm just passively playing on the side, right? Because I used to stream it too, which was very enjoyable too, being in that whole entire community for a little bit. But I've played so many different games. And the reason why I started streaming was something as simple as Clash of Clans. I was in high school at the time, and I was always walking around on my phone for like a quick 5-minute break just to promote myself on my clan. Like, guys, join, super active, please, I need friends. And I have like 3 people in the clan. And I was just thinking, man, there's got to be a better way to build a clan. And that is the only reason I started streaming, is because I saw that there were people promoting and playing the game, and they're building up a clan. I'm like, this is perfect. This is what I got to do. I'm going to do this for like 2 days, and then I'm going to stop, and I'm going to be good to go. Perfect. And that was a completely not exactly what happened. I mean, yeah, after like the second day of the stream, I had a full clan. I was so happy, but then I was like, wait a second. I really like the streaming game step combo. I'm going to give it a try. That is where I just really took off in terms of like putting all my time into it. It was a perfect time just because I was in high school. I had so much free time. But before all of that, yeah, RuneScape was definitely a game that has taken up like 20 years of my life. It's like a religion to me at this point.
Awesome.
And I have played many different little games here and there growing up on like the PlayStation, like Ratchet and Clank was some of my absolute favorite games in the series itself. As a kid growing up, even to this day, I've like gone back on my PlayStation 2, my parents' house, hooking it, played it again, just for the excitement of what it felt like when I was playing it as a kid, for the pure nostalgia of it. And just so many different little other computer games. I don't know if you know, like Commander and Conquer, just absolutely loved it so much. Age of Empires as well too. and SimCity. Like, these games are like the pillars of my childhood that I spent so much time investing, playing, and just growing up with. I'm trying to think if there's another one that was really sticking up, but like, those are just like the main games. I love them so much. Spent
too much time. Well, it's great because you've maintained that relationship with these games because you've played them for so long. And, you know, I think as a gamer, we come across things, genres and different consoles and PC hardware. And sometimes we gravitate away from what we like and what we grew up with. And, you know, again, I'm a little older, so, you know, I'm not a big PC gamer because I've never really had a gaming rig. But interestingly enough, I'm reviewing, if you know of the game Alone in the Dark, I'm currently working on that game, and it's giving me the nostalgia because I had that game back in 92 when I was 10 years old on a big CRT computer that was running MS-DOS. Didn't even have Windows.
And, but hey, still ran though.
Right. The only thing I was missing was a sound card, and it took me 15 years to discover that there was actually music in this game. Because all I used to hear was the footsteps, the screaming of the character when they would get attacked, like things like that. But again, the nostalgia of, you know, how many years games have been in our lives and, you know, having that love to go back to it. It's really cool. Like, I went on YouTube and I'm like, wow, you know, you look at the games then and you look at them now and how much they've changed. But a lot of the games you play, they're very similar. You know, they've evolved visually, but that aesthetic is going to be the core of what makes a lot of people like those games.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, and I just like brush the surface of, you know, a lot of the games that I've played, but those are just some of the games that I honestly couldn't wait to play whenever they would come out with like a new Ratchet and Clank. I remember saving up money for months to buy it and just absolutely getting so much out of each game, and then going back to class and talking to my my friends, like, guys, I just got this game and you guys gotta try them. We'd switch around to give me, you know, a game that they're enjoying. I loved it. It was such a good time. I feel like people are generally missing out today with the games, because, like, yeah, they're great games, they're graphically, visually really nice, but it just doesn't really have the same sense of the community that other games had for me personally. And I feel like you can 100% agree with me on that. Nothing like having like an actual friend there in real life playing whatever game you're playing, to then actually have like a legitimate conversation with them in the moment, rather than just playing a game with somebody on Discord. It just doesn't slap the same.
Agreed. Especially when, like you said, like-minded individuals connect, you just get even more passionate than you're already in the zone playing what you love. Then you're hearing people, you know, connect with it. It's such a cool feeling. I don't stream much because I never have the time, but when I do, you get that one or two people, and that's all it takes. All it takes is one person to connect with and just read something that is relatable or makes you think about, like, yeah, I remember that, or you've done that. Like, for me, I love playing horror games with like streaming people. And I think that's a big part of the streaming market now, is a lot of people playing a lot of these PC games with the jump scares and, you know, people getting the reactions, but then also, you know, oh, I remember when I played this the first time. Like, for me, Resident Evil 1, you know, if you've ever played it or if you've ever seen anything. That dog jumping out the window, I mean, that was life-changing. The first time that you literally crap your pants, you know, playing that for the first time. And revisiting something like that and having another, you know, fellow person become a fan of you just because you gave them that nostalgia. It's nothing short of incredible with that, I think.
What's your favorite horror game?
I would have to say it's going to be the original Resident Evil 1.
Wow, okay, all right. I have never played the original. I've played the other Resident Evils, and I've done that on stream as well too. And unironically, even though I scare people all the time, and that is my job at this point right now, I hate getting jump scared so much. But, you know, I understand why people like watching me play games like that, because I do get skittish. So right. I get it. I understand. So when I was growing up, I did not play any horror games because I was not messing with that stuff, because I would always get jump scares so easily in real life in such a normal setting as well too.
Right.
So I feel like I generally missed out.
Well, I was going to say, as I was explaining that portion, I had a feeling you didn't play it, because usually there's just certain things that I feel like have a specific reaction if you've seen it, and that's okay, you know. But again, I think you might want to try that game, and I'm talking
start from the very beginning,
the original. Like, there's director's cuts, there's remakes, and all that stuff. The original, because you go back to those older graphics. But again, it was such an unpredictable game. Mm. And at the time, I was one of those that picked that game up because I saw like an article in a magazine for it. I said, oh my God, like, this looks awesome. It reminds me of Alone in the Dark because I had that connection already. I put that game in. I was sweating, man, sweating, because there's just certain aspects. The game is quiet for a very long time, but it's not like a movie quiet. You know, like when you watch a horror movie, they make it quiet on purpose because then they're just prepping you. No, this game just has that eerie atmosphere, you know, and there's just something to it, you know, the gritty house, and then there's no one around, you know, it's you and your wits, and this is like true survival horror. But yeah, that's just one of those things that, you know, I feel it's hard to capture nowadays in a game because everybody's done it.
Yeah, know? No, I mean, I've played a few horror games recently. Well, not recently, but I've played a few horror games. Like, I fully played through Outlast. Empty insane asylum. You don't have to go into there. You could just close the game, but you still go in anyways. Thoroughly enjoyed that game. I think I even played Outlast 2 as well for just a little bit, but I get the concept. I totally get the enjoyment of, you know, progressing and trying your absolute best to not get scared. But I do understand why people like speedrun as well too, because they get to the point where they know exactly what they're doing. They're no longer scared. They're not going to get jump scared anymore. That's also enjoyable to watch as well too. I've watched some speedrunners as well.
I would say, of all people, you telling me that you don't love the idea of playing scary games, and that game is Creepfest.
Oh yeah,
that game scared the crap out of me, honestly.
Yeah, no, I don't know what. Well, actually, I do know what it is. Growing up early in my childhood, I was getting jump scared all the time from my older brothers, and at that point, that just got me to like the point where I was always on the edge of my seat whenever I would get scared or somebody would scream on the side. So because of that, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm so easily jump scared. I'm not going to play horror games. So growing up, I just stayed away from all horror games completely.
But in the end, your siblings created a monster when you think about it.
That's because they scare me. Then I grew up, and now I scare everyone. It's their fault.
Well said. So yeah, I mean, I would say this has been a really, really awesome talk because, again, I've seen your content. I've followed you for a couple of years. I've known who you were, but it wasn't because I was, again, when you're not a part of the platform, I didn't see your content too much, but then I finally saw that it was being posted elsewhere, and it's been great because, again, I'm getting caught up. And that's the one thing I wanted to commend you on too, on TikTok. Like, I know that you're kind of resharing a lot of the content that has been created already.
Which is great. It's so hard to get new content now.
No, I can imagine. But again, it's great because you're building that existing platform in a way where, you know, again, people get to discover you for the first time, and it's working. Because I was talking with my sister the other day about, you know, looking forward to today, and I mentioned who you were, and she literally pulled out her phone and said, you're not going to believe this text message that was sent to me 3 days ago. And it was literally a friend of hers sending her one of your videos. Like, can you believe this guy scares the crap out of people? I'm like, no way. Like, you know, you talk about the phones, listen to us, right? But like, she had this actively, it's just incredible. And again, it speaks to, you know, how well you are with your craft. So thank you for that. But yeah, this has been awesome, man. I would say, is there anything you'd like to, you know, let our audience know, like, where we can look forward to maybe the next part of your journey, where we want to check your live streams the most, because you mentioned YouTube, but I know you stream elsewhere also.
So my content at the moment is scaring people. I am going to be evolving it and changing it up as time goes, but I live stream every day on YouTube. And then sometimes if I feel like playing some games, I'll stream it on my Twitch, which is exactly the same as my YouTube, which is Hyphonics. And then I post on social media like TikTok and Instagram. And that's all, just if you look up Hyphonics, you'll come across it there as well. And I'm trying to think of anything else, but yeah, I think that's all. And thank you once again so much for your time as well. I appreciate it. Thank you for such good questions. It's ironic that I personally hate getting scared, but I think it's also just funny that I ended up being the person scaring everybody every day.
No, I think it's a great balance if you think about it, because it makes you who you are. And nothing wrong with that, I feel. But again, I commend you for everything you've done. Congrats on your growth, your success in this unique craft that you've created. And I look forward to seeing the years come and see what you do next. And if you ever want to stream Resident Evil 1, I'd love to connect with you on that, because that could be a really cool journey.
I am down. I've been going down a path of trying old games that I have played before in the past, and then I've had viewers suggest me to play some really old games of their past. Resident Evil, I'm down. I don't know which one I played recently, but I know for a fact I did not play the very first one. So I feel like I'm missing out.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Maybe we can connect offline and let's check and let's see what happens, everybody. But thank you again for your time. It has been a true honor, honestly, as a fan, to be able to have this opportunity. It's been awesome. And thank you again for all the kind words you've said about my collection and, you know, again, being a like-minded person. So everybody, we're going to have all the links to his content. Again, you know who this is. I don't need to tell you that. But I got to give you a great, unique persona look at him, because, you know, we see the scares. We see that face, which is, again, menacing, but we get to see the love. And thank you again. I appreciate your time. And everybody, till next time, take care. Have fun, everyone.